Healthy Alternatives. Both research and real-life experiences are making it clear every day that our traditional medical system and practices need to be rethought, revised, and recharged in light of a more holistic approach to health. Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz, host of Healthy Alternatives, has been a pioneer for 36 years in stress management and optimum health. With a Ph.D. in holistic health sciences, a law degree, and as the author of 8 books, all focused on health, stress management, and performance, Dr. Teplitz is uniquely qualified to help us explore and incorporate healthy alternatives into our daily lives. He is a professional speaker and has shared his wisdom with over 1 million people. Join him to reach your highest level of health and wellness. Now, here's Dr. Teplitz.
Welcome to Healthy Alternatives. I'm Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you're listening to WebTalkRadio.net. What Healthy Alternatives is about, most of us really want to reach optimum levels of health and wellness. We want to feel better, live longer, enjoy life even more, and that's what I attempt to bring on each of the Healthy Alternative shows. My guest I'm going to be talking to in a little bit is Hannah Koch. She is from South Africa, and we're going to be talking to her over the phone. And she has an education degree and has taught chemistry and biology. She's the head of Brain Gym in South Africa, and she's written a book called Happily Ever After, Make Your Relationships Flourish. We're going to be talking to her about that book and how you can apply that in her life in just a few minutes. Every week, I like to begin the show by talking about an issue or concern you should know about because it can have a real impact on you. What I want to talk about this week is the drug labeled statins. Statins block an enzyme in your liver that's responsible for making cholesterol. So you can really lower your cholesterol down dramatically, but it also, turns out, does a lot of other things that you don't want to have happen. First of all, it blocks the body from using CoQ10, which is vital for the health of your mitochondrial cells. Mitochondrial cells are in each of our cells, and they are the energy factory in our cells. Now, there have actually been over 900 studies done proving there are adverse side effects, a whole range of them, by taking statin drugs. Problems range from muscle problems to diabetes to birth defects to increased cancer rates. Let me give an example. A recent study took a look at the effects of statin drugs on the likelihood of exercise-related injuries. What the researchers did is they measured a substance in the body called creatine kinase, and they did this in subjects who were going to be running the Boston Marathon. And what they did is they measured them the day before, immediately after, and the day following the race. So they had people in the group who were being treated by their docs with statins, but they also had a number of folks in the controls who were not receiving statins at all. What they found is that the exercise-related increase in this creatine kinase for 24 hours after they ran the marathon was greater for statin users. What does this mean? It means you're actually creating exercise-induced muscle injury, and it actually increases as you age when you're taking statins and you get this deterioration in the muscle. So statin drugs also decrease your heart muscle function. They increase your risk of stroke. And what you're trading off for that is you're getting a reduction in cholesterol level, but cholesterol level, only half the heart attacks in this country happen when you have high cholesterol levels. They don't really have a good connection between cholesterol and heart disease. Now, another piece that's come into play is taking statin drugs, and you may wind up with diabetes several months later. A recent meta-analysis that looked at 5 different clinical trials, there were more than 32,000 people in this, they found the higher the doses of statin drug being taken, the greater the risk of getting diabetes. Another study done in 2012 looked at 13 statin trials. There were 91,000 participants in this, and they found that statin therapy was associated with a 9% increased risk of diabetes. So if you do decide you ought to be taking statins, then you really need to look at including the supplement CoQ10 in your diet, especially over the age of 40. By the way, up in Canada, docs cannot prescribe statin without CoQ10. Now, if you are over 40, you want to take the form of CoQ10 called imbiquinol because it is much more effective in being absorbed by the body. So statins are out there, but the question becomes, should you actually be taking them? If you want to know more about me, Dr. Jerry Teplitz, you can go to teplitz.com and you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. I do a free monthly e-newsletter called the Teplitz Report. It covers things I don't cover in Healthy Alternatives. You can go to teplitz.com, T-E-P-L-I-T-Z.com. Click on the About Home button and you'll be able to sign up there. Every week, I like to talk to you about a healthy breakthrough. It's the newest information, latest information, discoveries that you need to know about healthy alternatives you can use for yourself, your family, and loved ones. Now, if you get cancer, the traditional approach is they cut it out with surgery, they burn it with radiation, or they poison you with chemotherapy. The survival rates for a number of cancers are still extremely low. Esophageal cancer, that is metastasized, only has a 3% recovery rate. Lung cancer that's metastasized, 4%. Pancreatic cancer that's metastasized, 2% chance of survival. Now, one of the things about taking chemotherapy that most folks are not aware of is that healthy cells that are damaged by chemo actually secrete a protein which causes cancers to worsen so that they trigger more tumor growth. Not only that, the cancer cells that survive the chemo tend to be more aggressive, which leads to also faster tumor growth. So what I want to focus in on are what are some options out there from the traditional approach. One that you cannot get in this country, but you can get it in Japan, is what's called focused ultrasound. It's an alternative to surgery and radiation, and it has been used very successfully for prostate and even brain surgery. But at this point, you may have to go to Japan to get it where it's approved. Another alternative cancer treatment is called insulin potentiation therapy, IPT, insulin potentiation therapy. And what it is it's a procedure for targeting chemo drugs directly to cancer cells. So it makes the drugs tougher on the cancer, but also easier on the rest of the body. One of the things about cancer is that they need lots of glucose for fuel. Without it, they die. That's not the case with healthy cells. The membrane of a cancer cell is designed to take in much more glucose than a healthy cell. And so what IPT does, it pairs a small dose of chemo drugs with glucose. The cancer cells takes up the chemo as it takes up the glucose, the sugar it needs, and they found the therapy uses one-tenth the usual amount of chemo drugs. Other approaches that you can take a look at is, one is by Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez. He has developed an enzymatic therapy for cancer. A Dr. Jeannie Drisco, she uses intravenous vitamin C to stop the cancer. And Dr. Stanislaw Brzezinski has pioneered a non-toxic gene-targeted cancer therapy called angioplastins. So there are some real options out there. Now, what's an alternative treatment you can just simply do for yourself? Remember I said cancer must have sugar to live? Well, if you cut out all forms of simple sugars, if you cut out even complex carbohydrates that are broken down to sugar, so that you're drastically lowering your carbohydrate intake, what happens is you can slow the cancer growth by 50%. See, most people don't actually die from the cancer. They die from what's called cachexia, which the symptoms are progressive weight loss, anorexia, erosion of your cell and your body mass. So what's a way to treat this? It's a radical change in your diet and a positive change in your diet. And like I was saying, get rid of sugars and carbohydrates, have a high nutritional diet. Now, when you go to a cancer hospital, are you getting that? Nah. The registered dietitians there are giving you carbs a lot, and you even get sweets for desserts. What if you decide not to do chemo and radiation and surgery? What's your survival rate for 5 years? Well, let's just look at chemotherapy. There was a study done in Australia found that a 5-year survival rate of over 60%. Now, for the patients who had chemo, it moved it up to 62.3%, which is almost identical. And the statistics in the United States were pretty much identical to the Australian statistics. So you can spend lots of money, get the side effects and the craziness of chemo, or even without doing chemo, you've got about the same survival rate for yourself, but you don't have any of those side effects. So what you need to do is you need to look at alternatives with cancer. You get a diagnosis of that. You got to believe and you got to look at other options for yourself. Before I bring on my guest, Hannah Koch, what I'd like to talk to you about is a book that I have done called Switched On Selling. This is a book that I did with Dr. Tony Alessandro. He is a sales guru on selling. And so in each of the chapters, he gives you the technique of selling. And what I do at the end of each chapter is show you how you can rewire your brain using these brain gym body movements to actually switch yourself on for the selling process. This is a research-validated program. I've done studies with probably over a couple of thousand people on its impact. If you want to learn more about that, you can go to my website at templates.com. You can then click on the button that says Specialized Seminars. You'll be able to pick Switched On Seminars. You'll be able to then learn about it, buy the book if you want, and read the research. My guest today is somebody we're going to be going international on. This is Hannah Koch, and she lives in South Africa. Hannah has an education degree, and she's been trained as a chemistry and biology teacher. Then she took a completely different direction. She got certified in something called Brain Gym, and she's actually the head of Brain Gym in South Africa. She teaches courses on this. She does individual consultations. And she's also written a book we're talking about this as well, Happy Ever After, Make Your Relationships Flourish. She's developed workshops, relationships. She's done one on vision to reality and one on brain and brawn. So welcome to Healthy Alternatives, Hannah.
Great being on your show.
So let me ask you a question. How did you get involved with the Brain Gym work in South Africa?
Well, actually, that is an amazing story. Actually, it was you that introduced me to Brain Gym already in the late 1980s. And then I was at the time living in a very small African country called Lesotho, which is a country inside South Africa. And then when Carla Hannaford wanted to come and visit South Africa and do training there, then you forwarded her my details, and she came to visit me and loved it so much that she came back to Lesotho many times and trained me often one-on-one in the Grangen.
Now, your book is Happy Ever After, Make Relationships Flourish. Why did you write the book in the first place?
Well, you know, if you look at statistics nowadays of how many marriages end up in divorce and how many relationships, you know, end up in pain, I felt like we've got to do something about it, because there must be a reason why people can't make relationships work, and more importantly, there must be a way to make them work.
Hold on a second, yeah? Anna. In the States, just so that you're aware of, and you may be aware of, it's like a 50% divorce rate, I think, on first marriages, and even higher on
second.
Exactly. Is that the same rate in South Africa and other places? So is it kind of consistent?
Yeah, I think it is about that. It is about that.
So continue what you were saying.
Yeah, so while I was living in Lesotho in this very remote village with no phone, no TV, 30 kilometers, so I don't know, what, 20 miles away from the nearest town, and living there with my husband at the time, you really have to work on your relationship, because we were living and working together, which was a challenge, and you really have to look at yourself, because you can't run to friends when you are upset. And that's where I found already quite a few answers. And, yeah, after he passed away and now I'm remarried, I really have to apply all what I learned there. And since then, I've learned a lot more stuff. And I thought, let me now put it together in a book so more people can learn from it.
Now, there are a number of books out there on relationships. And what makes yours different than the others out there?
Well, most of the time when you read books on relationships or people talk about relationships, it's all about romance and keeping the romance alive and focusing on your partner. But what I found also in my consultations, that 90% plus of the problems that we experience is actually our problem. So if I'm having difficulties with my husband, it's actually something in me that he is reflecting that I need to change in order to become the best I can be.
Are you saying I'm going to have to take responsibility for my actions?
You know what? It's more. Let me explain. Often we feel like, and I'm not talking from a woman's perspective at the moment, a lot of women will say, oh, you know, my husband doesn't value me anymore, or, you know, they don't take my needs into consideration. And then I'll ask them, well, how much do you value you? How much do you put yourself last? And we often put ourselves last. So what is happening is that our partner is treating us the same way as we are treating ourselves. How can we be upset with that? So I'm suggesting, and I get fabulous results with it, that when I get the person to really value themselves and take themselves equally in consideration as their partner, so not more and not less, then the partners start treating you differently with more respect.
So let me ask you a question, because the title of your book is Happily Ever After. So what are the key elements that you see that need to be in a relationship in order to be able to get to happily ever after?
Well, there are three elements that have to be in a relationship. And it's based on Maslow's hierarchy of needs. For us to be fulfilled, we need our basic needs to be met. So we need our food, water, shelter, etc. So if we want to be really fulfilled and happy, be it in a relationship or outside a relationship, we need our basic needs to be met. So we need our food, our shelter, our water, our light, etc. We need love. We need to feel loved. And thirdly, we need self-actualization. And that means basically growth. We want to grow. Now, in most cases, or in many cases in the Western world, the basic needs are met. Life is in such a way that for most of us, basic needs are met, Although now with all these economic problems, those basic needs are threatened, and that put a huge strain on the relationship. But then you often hear people, oh no, we loved each other so much, but we got bored. And that is because the love was there, but the growth was not there. And when there is no growth, you do get bored, and then that's when you start looking outside of the relationship for new experiences. And you know where that often goes. So I'm saying is make sure that you have love, love for yourself to start with, love from your partner, and then grow, either with or without your partner, but make sure you grow, you develop yourself.
Now, one of the concerns I think people would have is if I'm growing and my partner's not, will that mean I'm going to actually grow out of the relationship? Is there a way to have your growth but also kind of stay in the relationship?
Yeah, that is always a challenge. Well, the thing is, first of all, if you can find a way to have shared growth, that is the best you can have. I mean, that is the ultimate. And if you have shared goals you work towards with each other, then it's very unlikely that a third party is going to be able to enter into your relationship. So that's ideal. Then if your partner doesn't grow with you, then I keep on saying, remember, if you have a problem in the relationship, look at yourself first. What is your partner reflecting that is also in you? So maybe he's not growing with you in this area, but maybe there are other areas that you are not growing yourself, or you're not looking at, or you're not showing enough interest in where he is at. Maybe he's going in another direction, or she, and maybe also explore where your partner is going so that you can still grow together.
Now, are there certain relationships that the book applies to more than others?
It applies to every relationship because it's my experience that every relationship that we have is a relationship, a reflection of the relationship we have with ourselves. So it can be a relationship with our partner, with our children, but also with colleagues at work, with even institutions, like if you're irritated with the government or certain racial groups or like a big company, again, there that is a reflection of how you also relate to yourself. And change yourself and your relationship with that organization will change. And also our relationship with money, if those same rules apply.
Which of those areas that, you know, can be stressful in a relationship would potentially be the most stressful? Would it be the money aspect of it or the lack of communication? So which one or two areas do you think would be the most stressful that people really have to pay the most attention to?
Well, I think when there are money issues in the relationship, of course, then that basic needs is being threatened, and that goes straight into survival. And then when we go into survival mode, then as we've learned in the brain gym, large parts of the brain switch off, our wisdom is out the window, and then communication becomes very difficult. Because now we don't have our whole brain to communicate with, our ears are not functioning properly, there's lots of things that block communication. But I find, besides money issues, the biggest issue really is about how do you much value yourself? Because if we don't value ourselves, and I don't mean it in a selfish way, and we can talk about what I mean with valuing ourselves. But if we value ourselves, then our partner will value us. But if we continuously put ourselves last and think, oh, I'm not that much, I'm not that worthy, I'm not... You know how we have a lot of negative self-talk? Our partner will treat us the way we treat us. And that's where a lot of the problems come from. Actually, I think most of the problems come from.
So before we continue, I'd like to remind you you're listening to Healthy Alternatives, Dr. Jerry Teplitz on webtalkradio.net. And we'll be back with my guest, Hannah Koch, in just a moment. I want to talk about the lighting that's over your head. It's still winter time, and by now you may be experiencing some midwinter blahs. Well, there's a solution, and what it is overhead. It's changing the tubes, the bulbs, the floodlights, the compact spirals, to what is known as a full-spectrum fluorescent tube or light that simulates the wavelength of sunlight. It's got tremendous benefits. We've done research with our clients, found late afternoon productivity levels soar, fatigue levels disappear, headaches disappear just from changing the lights. We've convinced our supplier to give you a 60-day money-back guarantee so you can actually try them out, a 2-year burnout warranty, and they seem to last 8 to 10 years, and we even still have 100-watt bulbs because they're color-corrected, so there's an exception in the law that allows those to still be sold. To learn about this, you can go to teplitz.com. You'll see the button at the top that says Products. You get a drop-down menu and just go into Lighting Products. So my guest today is Hannah Koch. She's from South Africa, so we're having an international conversation with her today. She has a degree in education. She has been a chemistry and biology teacher, and then she got involved with Brain Gym. And for listeners who may not be aware of Brain Gym, I'm certified in that, and I actually know Hannah personally. And Brain Gym is a movement-based program that switches the brain on for places that you have blocks. She's now the head of Brain Gym in South Africa, and she's written a book that we're talking about called Happily Ever After, Make Your Relationships Flourish. So, Hannah, can we talk about, not that it happens to me, but what if somebody has an irritating person in their life? And again, never happens to me.
Of course not. Of course. We never have these problems. It's always other people, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you first. The method that I teach on how to deal with irritating people has been around for 2,000 years or more. But I guarantee you the following outcomes. If you apply what I'm suggesting, you will guarantee have that irritating person will disappear gracefully out of your life without you having to shoot them. Or they change, or they don't irritate you anymore, or you become effective in dealing with that. Are you interested in that method of learning this?
So one of the four happens, either bang goes the gun or...
No, without the gun.
Without
no gun.
The gun. Well, we're in America, ma'am. We use guns here. It's not the gun. Anyway.
I know. We have guns here, too. No, that's what I'm saying. You don't have to shoot them. They disappear gracefully out of your life.
That would be a good option. So can you take these principles you're talking about and can you apply it outside just the one-on-one relationship to organizations as well? Does it have applicability?
Absolutely.
There?
Well, let me give you a good example. You know, in South Africa, we have got a lot of racial tension. And I was teaching a workshop at a certain stage for a young group of black youths. And we were talking about this situation. And I asked them the question, you know, what type of people do irritate you? And this one youngster stood up and he says, you know, I really don't like the South African boer. Now, the boer, what he refers to are the white male Afrikaans-speaking men in South Africa. So I said, okay, well, what is it that you don't like about them? And he says, well, they're racist. They don't value me. And then we talked about it, and I said, well, because the principle that I work with is when we point fingers, three fingers point back. So basically what you see in them is what you do, and then change yourself, and then your relationship with that person will change. So he then had to admit that he was just as racist as he was accusing them of. He was also prejudiced. And on top of it, he had difficulties with valuing himself. So that's why it then irritated him when other people didn't value him. Yeah. So the key is then that there was two things he had to do. One is it showed him the importance that he had to start valuing himself. No matter what other people think of him, that is one, and the book teaches you how to do that. And the other one, it was he had to realize, you know what, if I want to stay a racist, because he didn't want to change that, that's okay, but then he mustn't get cross when other people are racist towards him, because they now do the same what he does. And that helped him a lot to make peace with the Buddha, as he described him.
Now, what can a person do if they're attracted, we're back into, you know, one-on-one relationship, if they're attracted to people outside their relationship? How do you handle that?
Well, that's very interesting. What I found is that when we deal with other people, when we are attracted to them or repulsed by them, we can often just name with a few words what you like or don't like about them. So if you are attracted to somebody, say you are attracted to somebody that really wants children, and you want children, but your partner doesn't want children, then it's not about that you're attracted to that other person. Well, let me say that again. If you find yourself attracted to another person, then it's good that you identify what is it about this person that I like so much. And you might find, I like him so much because he likes children. He wants children. I want children. My partner doesn't want children. And actually, I'm just attracted to him because I want children. It's not about him. It's about wanting children. So then when you realize what it is that is missing in your current relationship, then you can talk to your partner about it and say, you know what, I have to do about it. And so that way you bring the quality of the third party into the relationship without bringing the person into the relationship.
You're really talking about people needing to be really honest, looking at themselves first.
Absolutely. That is the key. And I know for a lot of people it's difficult to be honest, to look at themselves, because those people, when they look at themselves, they judge themselves. And who wants to look at themselves and then come to the conclusion that they're no good. So it's very important that when you look at yourself, as we say it in Brain Gym, it's just an observation, no blaming, no shaming, it's just what is, no judgment. The judgment is, I'm attracted to this person. What is it about this person that I like? He wants or she wants children. So then you are honest with yourself, and it doesn't make me a bad person that I'm attracted to this person. It just makes me realize what is missing where I'm now. And then I can do something about it. But it's very important, no blaming and shaming when you look at yourself. It's just what is.
Now, how does the notion, because I think you write about it in the book, of forgiveness come into play in this process? Because, you know, like, you may have had a relationship with that person who wanted kids, and then whoever you're with now finds out about it. And how do you get forgiveness to occur in all of this?
Well, the idea when you're attracted to somebody else is that you try to prevent from getting involved by analyzing it beforehand. But that's beside the point. On the forgiveness side, forgiveness is very important. There are always two aspects that we need to look at. One is we need to forgive a person if they have hurt us. But more importantly, we also have to forgive ourselves for what we've done. You know, if you look at Christian teaching, and I'm not talking religion here, but the main message of Christianity is forgiveness. And because as soon as we have anger and resentment in our heart, we cannot feel love at the same time. So if we want love in our life, we have to let go of that resentment and hatred, and forgiveness gives us the tool to do that so that we can then feel love again in our lives.
Can you give us an example of somebody you worked with and the impact of your approach has had on them?
Well, there's a number of them, but let me just give you one example that just happened recently. This lady came to see me, and she was going through an ugly divorce to the point that her husband was refusing the divorce, and he was going out of his way to destroy her. He was just finding anything to take her to court, and that way financially was draining her financial resources. And she was at a wit's end. Her children were not sleeping. She was feeling sick, knots in her stomach, etc. She then came to see me, and we came to the conclusion that he was not valuing her, and he was basically treating her the same way she had been treating herself. So then we worked with her to learn to love and accept herself unconditionally. Now, this all happened in one session. In 3 days, the husband had agreed to the divorce in an amicable way. He had now appointed a divorce lawyer that is known for negotiations instead of, you know, the cutthroat lawyers you have. She found more peace. The children were sleeping better. And at least now, even though it's not the happy ever after that they're going to get together again, although you never know in future what the future will hold, at least they can move on with their lives in a way that is best for them and for their children.
Can you work with people in the United States since you're in South Africa? Is there a way to do that?
Yeah, we can do it via Skype or the phone. You can do, because a lot of the work is also done with visualizations, and that you can easily do, you know, through the electronic media. And then with Skype, on top of it, you can also do show some of the other exercises as well.
And how can they set up an appointment with you?
I think the best is to go to my website, the www.makealife.co.za, and under Contact Us, then there's my email address. It's hannah@makealife.co.za, and then we can set an appointment accordingly.
And can they find out about your book on that site as well?
Yes, there is a link to Amazon, so you can get it in the Kindle version, or you can get the hard copy through Amazon as well. So you can find more information on the book as well.
Great. So for listeners who'd like to explore further with Hannah Koch, you can go to her website. It's makealife.co.za. So makealife.co.za. Hannah, thanks for being a guest today in Healthy Alternatives.
Thank you very much for having me on your show.
My guest next week is going to be Mark David. He's the founder of the Institute for Psychology of Eating. He's a leading visionary, teacher, and consultant in nutritional psychology. He's the author of the classic and best-selling works Nourishing Wisdom, The Slowdown Diet, and Mind-Body Nutrition. He's held senior consultant positions at Canyon Ranch Resorts, the Johnson & Johnson Corporation, and the Disney Company. He teaches the students and professionals how to effectively work with the most common eating challenges of our time. We're going to be talking to Mark about his approach and how that can apply in your life, and you're not going to want to miss this one. This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz. You can find out more about me at teplitz.com, or you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today for Healthy Alternatives. For more information about Dr. Teplitz and his availability for speaking engagements, please click on the globe on the webtalkradio.net page in front of you or go to teplitz.com. You may also follow him on Facebook and Twitter by using the icons on the page. To find out more about his books, please click on any of the book covers you see. Eat well, rest well, take a breath, get some exercise, and we'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Healthy Alternatives.